G'day, I'm Andrew Tang from Morgans. I'm joined today by Nader Naimi, Head of Dynamic Markets at AMP Capital. Manages close to 85 billion assets under management. Today we're talking about the Dynamic Markets Fund and how Nader's thinking about markets, just given what's happened towards the end of last year, particularly last quarter, with one of the worst quarters that we've seen in markets for some time. The markets were overly concerned around trade wars, around a slowdown in global growth. But now in 2019, markets have turned around, have bounced. A lot of those issues are still around, Nader. But one thing that's changed was around the Fed and the change of direction that Jerome Powell took in his recent speeches. Just wondering if you could talk us through markets this year. Are we through the worst of it? Should we still be concerned about some of these geopolitical risks that are out there?
Thanks, Andrew, and thanks for having me. Yes, I mean, you look at the quarter four last year, it was brutal. And it was quite interesting that actually finally was led by U.S. equities, because throughout the year, we had U.S. equities being kind of separated or decoupled from what was happening in the rest of the world. Because of the tax cuts that we had in the U.S. And finally, the slowdown, the Fed, the tightening that the Fed had pushed through caught up with U.S. equities. We had quite a big drop in markets. And I think when you look at the catalyst for the drop was obviously Fed seemed to be on autopilot at the time when the data was actually weakening in the U.S. There was a lot of reference to yield curve being, you know, close to being inverted. So the data is weak and the Fed is just basically not listening. So we had the lows in December, and under the catalyst for the turnaround was the fact that the Fed did a U-turn. And so they came out and said, we know data is slowing. And now we're not on autopilot. We are ready to be basically moved to neutral. So that was a catalyst for the turnaround. We've had a significant rally from the lows. Obviously, I mean, January is a very strong month, but very strong catalyst. And a lot of it has been very high beta, cyclically led, broad-based rally, which is great. But to your question, are we out of the woods? Is this basically start of just, we continue on? I think on that, I'm kind of worried about chasing it from these levels. First of all, corrections or big drops like what we had late last year don't resolve with a V-shaped recovery. You look at it fundamentally. So Fed, it's great. So one of the risks has been eliminated, and that's the risk of Fed policy mistake. But the issue around the weakness in the data hasn't been resolved yet. So you look at the data that's coming at US and globally, all the PMIs, even leading indicators in the PMIs, like new orders to inventory ratios, are still declining. So markets rallying with the expectation that Fed is on pause, but you have some growth questions unanswered. And I think in the short term, for the next few weeks or so, the focus is likely to change to the actual data and earnings and the fact that credit conditions have been worsening. So that leaves room for a drop in markets again, a potential retest. But the fact that the Fed risk is out of the way and the fact that you have persistent stimulus coming out of China, I think is enough to stabilize global growth. So to answer your question, it's a very long way to answer your question. In the short term, we are worried to chase this. We have started to put short positions back on U.S. equities in particular, and I think U.S. equities leadership is over. So we're starting to use U.S. equities as a tail hedge in our portfolio, putting short positions there. But if we do get a 7, 8, 10% drop again or a retest, we will buy back into it. I think 2019 is likely to be a better year than 2018.
Thanks for that, Nader. And just for by way of background, Nader runs a dynamic markets fund. It can invest cross-asset, cross-geographies, so a very unconstrained type of strategy. It targets 4.5% over CPI. So, Nader, just in terms of your positioning, so you mentioned short U.S. equities, I guess, in the short term. On the long side, where are you sort of positioned? Where do you see the opportunities? And maybe if you can talk about what assets you would typically invest in at this point in the cycle. Thank you.
Sure. So yeah, our mandate is cross asset. So we look at equities, commodities, within equity sectors, in bonds, on our yield curve trades. Basically, like a global macro mandate, which is great. You know, there's no vested interest to a particular asset class. You know, you move based on opportunities. And when you look at first starting by regionally, allocation regionally. So we've had U.S. leadership for quite a long time now. And that's been in the back of, tech sector leading the U.S. equities higher. Whereas from here, there's a few things. Like you look at the valuation point of view. I mean, there's been a lot of debate around value versus growth. So growth has been underperforming value since 2007. You look at the difference between the relative valuation of value versus growth is at extremes. At the time that we start to see increased regulations coming to some of the high level social media tech stocks in the US. Then we talked about the Fed pause as well, right? So one of the biggest constraints around the emerging markets performance last year was rising US dollar, falling currencies in emerging markets, and rising inflationary pressure. So inflation is the biggest enemy for emerging markets performance. A lot of that is reversing now. First, the starting point is underweight investors, some pessimism around emerging market assets. But at the same time, you look at inflationary dynamics in some of those emerging markets, more and more emerging market countries are starting to see inflation roll over. And you see more and more central banks in the emerging markets start to push from hiking to easing. So you have very strong valuations. Fundamentals, there's a trigger in fundamentals and inflation and US dollar. Every Fed pause, obviously, rate hikes have been priced out of the US, and judging by the data, it's unlikely that Fed will do more hikes. So the US dollar is peaking. So that's also will benefit emerging markets. So regionally, we have quite a significant skew for emerging markets. Obviously, that trade tension between US and China will be ongoing. But when you look at emerging markets, there are some areas of emerging markets that will be beneficiaries of that tension, like Vietnam, Cambodia. You look at some of the closed economies in emerging markets, like Philippines, which had a serious currency decline last year, and now you start to see inflation roll over and they're a lot more competitive, or even Indonesia. So that's from a regional point of view. We like emerging markets, obviously, select part. Then you look at the asset class, commodities, for example. We talked about, commodities are the cheapest asset class. And growth, last year, we started with very high optimism towards growth, which led to extreme pessimism towards growth. And so commodities, as growth expectations continue to improve this year, commodities will benefit. And you look at the supply side as well. You saw what happened to Vale in Brazil. They're losing the license to operate some of the dams. You also see a lot of supply cuts in China because they are trying to fight against pollution. So supply is constrained. Last year's falls have led to a big decline in CapEx when it comes to energy prices. And now US dollar is also peaking. So the commodities is an asset class here, and they are a late cycle asset class as well. So we have quite a solid allocation to commodities. And then you look at sectors. We have core positions in the portfolio, which includes some value part of the market, like I said, materials and energy, but also thematically, we have exposure to global and US telecommunication sector. We haven't really discussed much about 5G yet in Australia, but that's a big thing. 5G is going to improve the speed of the way we communicate. It will be 100 times faster that this cable network. So at the time that we're going to get the rollout of NBN, we get 5G, which is going to be a lot faster. So that will benefit some of the telecommunication companies. So we have exposure to global telecommunication, but obviously it will be to the detriment of some other, like internet service providers will be negatively impacted. So there's, from a thematic point of view, we're looking at telecommunication. And then one lastly, a sector that has been really, really just has sold down quite significantly during this US-China trade war, and Europe has been caught in the middle, European automakers. European automakers have fallen, from a valuation point of view, they're trading on single-digit PEs. I mean, as an example, you look at Volkswagen, which owns part of Porsche Motors, is trading on 5x PE. You look at Tesla, it's trading on 50x PE. And you should see the cars that Porsche is going to roll out in the market this year and next year, electric cars, price competitive with Tesla, and it's a bit much bigger distribution, a proper car making support. So there's a lot of opportunities, but so these are the core positions, but at the same time, we're going to manage the volatility in the portfolio in the short term. And as I mentioned, some short positions in the US, some short position Aussie dollar, for example, now we have. We've seen RBA moving to neutral. We've seen inflation disappointing in Australia. RBA is falling behind the inflation target. And Aussie dollar's had a good rally, right? So even though we think US dollar has peaked, but Aussie dollar itself is vulnerable here because we're starting to see the signs of slowdown in housing starting to just find itself in the retail and potential require rate cut by the RBA. So shorting Aussie dollar here in these levels, at these levels makes sense.
Great, thanks, Nader. Maybe we can talk a little bit about your process. Nader, you emphasize that investment trends come in and out of fashion a lot of the time. What are some of, I know the fund that you run and the strategy you run is very systematic, very process-driven, a lot of signals that you look for. Can you just describe to our audience what are some of the turning points? I mean, market timing is everything. What are some of the signals that you look for before sort of moving into and out of an asset class?
Market cycles are just big feature of markets. Those cycles can be very long-term secular cycles to short-term business cycles. So it's, from a deep down underneath, our process is our investment philosophy. And under our investment philosophy, when you look at a bull market, you see three distinct phases. Phase one of every bull market, when things are cheap and no one wants it, but fundamentals are bad, but getting less bad, right? So that's, usually you get a bear market because fundamentals are bad. But at some point, those fundamentals which are so bad and sentiment so bearish, the fundamentals become less bad, right? So earnings growth for a sector goes from minus 30 to minus 25 to minus 20. So that's a turning point usually. So we like that phase one. So our process, which looks at value cycle, which earnings, monetary policy, liquidity, sentiment, and technical indicators, five drivers, we try to find that reversal point. Then you usually get the momentum, right? So you get the reversal because things are becoming less bad, but then with the lag, usually fundamentals react and things actually improve. So earnings growth becomes positive, but valuation is still not so demanding, right? So that's a phase that you have growth and momentum, call it growth at a reasonable price. And for any asset class, I mean, the same thing applies to commodities, to equities, bonds, what have you. And then phase three is what we had the tech stocks in US last year, for example. We call it growth at any price or momentum at any price. And that's when they're hyped up. So that's the phase that can go on. It can have a blow off. But if you have a big exposure to data as a market, you can lose money very quickly. And it's hard to recover from that kind of momentum. So momentum stops, it stops suddenly. So we avoid. So our process looks for opportunities across sectors, markets, cross asset opportunities that sit in phase one and phase two of the cycle, right? So over time, with consistent returns, we aim to achieve our CPI plus 4.5% target by avoiding those hyped up, crowded areas of the market, which can make you a lot of money very quickly, but you can lose it very quickly as well. So we want a diversified portfolio that sits in phase one and phase two of the cycle. We use a lot of tail hedges when markets have become used sentiment indicators. Sentiment indicators are contrarian. When we start to see over optimism, hype in markets, crowded positions, expectations. When the expectations are very high, even though you might have a positive long-term view, in the short term, you could actually get disappointment like what happened last year. Expectations are high, it's very easy to disappoint. So that usually gets picked up by shorter term drivers in our process, which are sentiment, contrarian sentiment, and technical indicators. And when we see those, when we start to see negative signals across sentiment and technical indicators, move to tail hedges in the portfolio, right? So options are used typically cheap, though the portfolio because volatility is low. We buy options in the portfolio. We look at currencies. Like in December, we had quite a significant position in long JPY versus short Aussie dollar. So that rallied hard, and that gave us a great protection in December. In December also, our sentiment indicators were quite negative. We had short positions in U.S. equities and NASDAQ, and that diversity of U.S. equities fell by 10%. But you could have gone short U.S. equities much earlier and been burnt. You know, a lot of people tried to short U.S. equities because it was, and you can't go too early on those things. So we use as technical indicators, proprietary technical indicators, for timing some of those reversals, and together when it comes with a very extreme sentiment, it works, it reduces the, you know, being too early, being too late, and some of those signals. So the process is a combination of medium term fundamentals plus shorter term market driven indicators like sentiment and technicals.
And maybe just one final question for you, Nader. Being in markets nearly 30 years, what's probably the most important lesson that you've learned in this time that you can sort of give an idea to our investors about that they can sort of go home with?
So many of it. I mean, what I usually say is when it's obviously wrong. And one of the things that worries me the most with markets, when making money becomes so easy, then you know it's gone too far, and you're gonna have to sort of start to just becoming a little bit more cautious. So one of the things I've done over 30 years of investing and trading, it's number one to obviously, I like the crowd. You want to be with the crowd. But when the crowd moves to the extreme and crowd becomes extreme, I move away because that is too risky. And that's usually the time that when I say when it's obvious, it's obviously wrong. And you use that theme to so many trends of the past when it comes to currencies, commodities. When it becomes so obvious and fashionable, invariably you are towards the tail end of that trend. Sometimes I just go around and you just ask people, you can feel it. So you have this gut feel. I mean, we capture a lot of that through our indicators, but you can even, when you can see when everyone talks about a particular idea, you know, it's priced in. So staying away from the crowd at the extreme, but you know, I mean, you usually say, you know, you got to be able to anticipate the anticipation of others, right? And and then go with that, but then at the extreme, you'll be out.
Thank you, Nader. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Now, if you want more information about investing in AMP Capital's Dynamic Markets Fund, it's an actively listed ETF with ticker DMKT. Please speak to your Morgan's advisor to see if this investment is right for your circumstances. But thank you very much for joining us.